Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We have Brother Paul. He's going to teach basic deliverance, self-deliverance. And before we get started, we're going to get Sister Marine to bring us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your engrafted word. We exalt your holy word tonight, Lord. Your word is quick, powerful, and sharp, piercing soul and spirit. Quicken us in your word tonight, Lord. Be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, I pray that our hearts be receptive and our minds be clear. Father, I pray that your word brings salvation, healing, and deliverance to every listener in need tonight. In the name of your mighty Son, Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.
All right, we got Brother Paul for 1 hour and 50 minutes, or whenever he gets tired, 1 hour, whatever God's lead him. And after, we're going to have praise and worship. All right, Brother Paul, it's yours.
Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. I echo that prayer. That was a great prayer. It's all about Jesus, basically. This teaching that I do is beginning deliverance and self-deliverance. So if you're an advanced deliverance practitioner, this probably is not going to be that interesting to you. But if you're new to deliverance, or you've started, say, a couple months ago, maybe even a year ago, and you're not very active, this show is for you. And I like what Brother Emmett said about the description. This is going to be about self-deliverance, too. I have a praise report on my self-deliverance. I got some big breakthrough today because I stuck with it. I didn't see any breakthrough for, I don't know, a couple months maybe. But I knew God was working. I wasn't in sin. No, I wasn't in any sin. But I knew God was working, and, of course, the enemy was working too. So, anyway, we'll start with our foundational scripture. Mark 16:17, this is Jesus Christ speaking. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Okay, so are you a follower of Jesus? If you are, he just told you what he expects. You have to do some things. And when it says cast out demons, why doesn't it just say like in James 4:7 that we resist the demons? You resist the demons from the outside, and that's good. Keep walking past the donut shop, okay? You can resist that demon. But that's the outside. You have demons inside of you, and Jesus, in his all knowledge, knew that every believer, follower of his, will have demons. Yep. You got demons. Reverend Lovejoy at the First Church of the Frozen Chosen probably never taught you that. I'm here to tell you. So get over it and get with it. All right. They will speak with new tongues. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't speak with tongues. I really don't. I'd be lost, man. Anyway, he has all of it here. I mean, if you just do what these two verses say, you got a big leg up on a lot of people that might love the Lord, but they get attacked and have all kinds of problems. So I really wanted to encourage you to speak in tongues a lot. And there's a brother listening that I encouraged him. I gave him a couple tips. And one of the tips I want to give people is try to get alone and try to close your eyes. Because if your eyes are – now, don't do this if you're driving a car – but if your eyes are closed, then you can't look at something. You can't eyeball it, as Brother Emmett says. Now, this is not always possible. I speak in tongues when I drive my car a lot, so obviously I have my eyes open. But this is a big, big area of spiritual warfare. And what's your issue? You get angry often? Okay. You get frustrated often? Okay, you're going to become a deliverance minister to yourself right now. Because how are you going to deliver other people if you can't deliver yourself? It makes no sense. So right now, if you got a spirit of anger, come out in Jesus' name. Or you can start with, I bind all you foul, wicked, evil spirits operating in my body in the name of Jesus. I'll say it again. I bind all you foul, wicked, evil spirits operating in my body in the name of Jesus. Spirits of fear come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of pain come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of anger come out in Jesus' name. And you keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. And I want to give all praise to the Lord because I've been seeking the Lord. I've been praying. James 1:5 says, if you ask God and he will give you information and upbraid you not. He will not get mad at you for asking. Matter of fact, let me read that right now. I'm not quoting it quite correct. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let the person ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to the person asking. Without reproach means he's not going to get mad at you not give it to you because he doesn't think you deserve it. Without reproach means if you come and you come without double-mindedness, he will give it to you. And I've been asking and asking and asking, and the Lord showed up in my dream and gave me a confirmation that I needed to start casting out scorpions as well. In the Bible, you know, we talk about Satan as the old, you know, serpent, and I agree. And we cast out spirits, we cast out, you know, snakes and Leviathan, you know, water serpents a lot. But we never really cast out scorpions too much, do we? I mean, I don't. I don't know of a lot of ministries that do. But the Bible talks about casting out serpents and scorpions. And we kind of forget the scorpions. And I've had some major release today. I've had some coughing, burps, yawn, some belching. And they're coming out. And I know they're coming out. So I give God all the praise for answering my prayer. Now, he didn't answer me the first time I asked him. No, it didn't work that way. It doesn't work that way with me. Maybe it works that way with you. I don't know, but it didn't work that way with me. So keep asking. Ask in faith. Thank him for the answer, and he will tell you what you need to know. Now, he's not going to give you – don't ask for the lottery numbers, okay? He's not going to give you lottery numbers. Sorry. And he's not going to make someone like you. But if it's something that has to do with the word and you're getting closer to him, and this is important. Okay, Ephesians 6:12. This is another sort of foundational scripture. And Derek Prince talks about this a lot. And let me back up for just a minute. I want to give some foundational books. And most all of this can be found online if you don't have money for books or you don't like to read or whatever. I like to read and online. But the first book I would recommend, it's out of print, and there's some pretty cheap on the internet. It's Pigs in the Parlor by Frank and Ida Mae Hammond. Excellent book for beginners. Pigs in the Parlor by Frank and Ida Mae Hammond. You just want the basic books. You don't need the workbook or the teaching book. They have all kinds of workbooks, teach books, all that kind of stuff. No, you need the basic book. And you probably should be able to get it on eBay for maybe $5 delivered. Another foundational book is Prayers That Rout Demons. Prayers That Rout Demons. John Eckhart. Got it right here on my desk, got duct tape on it. I've used it quite a bit. Anything by Derek Prince. Derek Prince can be very, he can be, try to get the basic teachings by Derek Prince. Derek Prince is an extremely brilliant man. Sometimes for beginners, some of the things might be a little much, so maybe watch for that. And then Win Worley, of course, has many booklets on deliverance. And I would caution against getting them right away. I think you can follow Win Worley too quickly. Now, if you've been in deliverance for 6 months or more, yeah, I think Win Worley could be a profit to you, be profitable to you. But I wouldn't start off with Win Worley right away. If you start off with those resources I named, Pigs in the Parlor, Prayers That Rout Demons, and just the basic teachings by Derek Prince, I think that would be plenty to get going. And I know I talked about this last week, that when I started this journey years ago, probably 10 years ago or whatever it was, there was very few prayers on the internet for deliverance. Now there's lots of prayers. So just put in spiritual warfare or self-deliverance prayers in Google, and you might have to go through some results, but you can find them fairly easily. When I got the revelation on scorpions today, I was able to find some prayers this one deliverance minister had done on scorpions. So if you want to find information to help your self-deliverance, it's there. Don't look for somebody to deliver you. I think that we read the Bible and we see Jesus going around and the apostles delivering people, but this doesn't stop you from doing your own deliverance. I am blessed enough to get a session with Emmett and Sister D most weeks, and they tell me, and I know it's true, that because I'm prepared, because I do self-deliverance, they're more able to help me. So you're helping yourself when you get a higher-level deliverance minister to help you. And what I've done is I've delivered a list of things that we're going to attack that day. And this helps them too. I mean, they can't know every person exactly what they need, so I have a list for them. And I'll update it from time to time. So try to have a list, and you yourself work on your list. Okay, we're going to another foundational scripture here. This is Ephesians 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Derek Prince taught on the scripture. And the one thing that I never really thought about was in the Greek language, it's written in Greek, right? They had sort of a idea or a concept of wrestling is the most intimate face-to-face, toe-to-toe, you know, lips-to-lips sort of battle you can have. Forget about this fake wrestling on television, okay? And even Olympic wrestling probably has too many rules. But you're going to get personal. It's kind of wicked and bloody and not real cute when you really start getting serious about casting out demons. The more that it becomes personal, the more it becomes sort of confrontational. You're over the target. You've arrived. You've shake that demon out of his hiding place, and he doesn't like to be shaken out of his hiding place. He's very comfortable in you. You're a three-part. 1 Thessalonians 5:26. You're a three-part being. Am I right on this? Praise Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me. Am I right on this? That's wrong. Where am I? Okay, 5:23. Sorry. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. You are three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body. You have a spirit, and if you're a real Christian, it's born again. No demons are in there. The demons are going to inhabit your soul and your body. So when you start casting them out of your body and your soul is contained in your body, they don't want to leave. They like being in you. They're very happy being in you. And when you cast them out, they have to go through dry places looking for another host. This is Matthew 12:43. Matthew 12:43. And I guess everybody can hear me. I'm using a new headset, so I guess if they can't, somebody will let me know. 12:43. If you can hear me, you don't need to tell me. Or you can or whatever. Okay, Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man or goes out of a person, he goes through dry places. It looks like that unclean spirits are males.
I won't get too far down that trail, but something to consider. When an unclean spirit goes out of a person, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. He's resting you. But when he gets cast out, you've got to go through dry places, seeking rest. He was resting in you, and he likes to be in any warm, sort of wet environment. This is why when Jesus cast the demons out of the guardian demoniac, they wanted wet. They wanted a moist being to be cast into, which was the pigs. Okay, verse 44. Then the demon says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when the demon comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the person is worse than the first. So it shall be with the wicked generation. So I want to give a warning, and I probably should have done this in the beginning, but I'm giving a warning here. If you're not willing to give up whatever sin it is, whether it's unbelief or hatred, pornography, or bitterness, or drinking, drugs, messing around with the wrong people, watching the wrong stuff on the internet, don't go through deliverance. Because if you go back to that, or when you go back to that, you will be worse than the state before. Now, there's a couple exceptions to that. One is from victimization, and one is from inheritance. If you have something that came down from through your inheritance line, once you get that cast out, it's gone forever, unless you yourself go to the same sin in your family line that brought that demon in, which is kind of impossible to know, but I hope that's clear. And from victimization, if you ever victimize through any sort of physical violence, or someone took advantage of you or touched you where they weren't supposed to, once those demons go out of you, they're out. They don't have a legal right to come back in. But that's kind of the situation that we're in. So the last state will be like the first. You don't want to be like you were before. You want to get rid of these demons. So Ephesians 6:12 is very foundational. It's used a lot in deliverance ministry, and I think it will be profitable to you. I've read Ephesians 6 over and the whole chapter over and over and over. And while I'm in Ephesians, I want to go to this is a verse that gets kind of looked over, especially by us deliverance ministers and by a lot of people, I suppose. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18. And the Lord really worked on me on this one, because I've been reading the rest of Ephesians 6, and I just read right past this, but this is extremely important. Praying always. Did you get always? With all prayer and supplication in the mind, right? No, in the spirit. Jesus only prayed to the Father in the spirit. That's the way you should pray. Let's start over. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Spirit is capital. Being watchful to this with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So it's extremely important that you pray in the Spirit as much as you can. I do this by praying in tongues. It would be possible, I suppose, to not pray in tongues and continuously pray prayers to God through His Son. And that would technically be in the spirit. I don't know why you'd want to do that, but you know, if that's what you want to do, fine. I go into Walmart. I wear my mask because it makes the workers there feel safer. I don't want to get on masks, but I'm praying all the time under my mask in Walmart while I'm walking around buying my food or whatever. Same thing in my car. Now, I don't wear the mask in the car, but I pray in the car. I rarely ever listen to so-called Christian music. It would be rare. Maybe sometimes. At home, I don't have television. Don't want it. Haven't had television for many years. I pray in tongues. I worship the Lord. I get down on my hands and knees and worship Him. I want to just, this is not really deliverance, but I'm going to throw this in. I want to go to John 4:23. And John 4:23. Now, this is pretty powerful stuff. So this is Jesus talking, and the hour is coming, and now is where the true worshipers, why didn't he just say worshipers? Why did he say true worshipers? When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. There's a lot of worship and a lot of spirit in those two chapters, in those two verses, excuse me. If you look up worship, you will see that it's a Greek term, praskoudio, or a Greek speaker would probably say praskoudios. Apologies to any Greek speakers out there. What it means is a bow, kneel, or prostrate. That means not sitting. It's a positional thing. What are the 4 and 20 elders doing? Falling down, worshiping the Lord. What are the 6-winged, many-eyed cherub doing? Falling down, worshiping the Lord. I had an encounter with, it's either an angel or Jesus, I'm not sure. I was in a house, 2:30 in the morning. I was in a chair. I woke up from my sleep. I'd only been sleeping maybe 20 minutes. Outside of the window, there was a light that's like no light on this earth, and I wasn't ready for it. And the first thing I wanted to do is get down on my face. Because when you're in the presence of holiness, your first reaction is to not high-five Jesus and go, hey, how you doing? No, no, no. First thing you want to do is start worshiping the Lord, and it is a positional thing. And I tell people this, and they go, oh, brother, that's legalism. You can say whatever you want. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And once I've been doing this, it's taken my relationship with the Father in deeper ways. And I think this is one of the reasons I got this revelation about scorpions today. But study John 4:23, John 4:24. Try to study it in the Greek. Most people that commentate on it are pathetic. They just are. They don't really understand. They don't want to get down on their hands and knees. They don't want to get down on their face. They don't want to do the positional thing. Well, I guess they don't want to be like the 4 and 20 elders in heaven, do they? Something to think about. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10:3. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according. I'm going to go all the way down to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So people, you know, their bags of bones are not really your problem. It's the spirits operating in people, okay? And your bag of bones is not really your problem. You may have problems in your bag of bones, but they're demons. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, there you go, thought into captivity until the obedience of Christ. We can get caught in our thoughts. And Emmett, Brother Emmett, does a great teaching, and I might do a teaching on it one night, taken from his teaching, about being lost in your mind, about how you've got to silence the mind, which really praying in tongues helps a lot. And then once you do, you can hear the Holy Spirit better, which is the, you know, God's mouthpiece. You can hear the Holy Spirit a lot better. And this is very important for higher level deliverance. Now, to start off with, when you're just starting off in deliverance, if you're really serious about it and you know you're not going to go back in your sin, you know, you want to be operating in the Holy Spirit, but you don't have to wait on that. Now, Brother Emmett and I have a little bit of a disagreement here, and you know, we can talk about that later perhaps. But you can start with just deliverance prayers, not really operating in the Spirit. Now, you should start operating in the Spirit as soon as you can.
Brother Paul.
You can start operating. Yes, sir.
Hold up. What is this that we have a disagreement on?
Well, I was saying that a beginning person that wanted to begin doing deliverance on themselves, if they were sure that they were not going to go back into their sin, and they would, you know, they wouldn't get Matthew 12:45 on them, the seven coming back in. I was saying they could start casting out with not hearing completely in the spirit.
That's true.
But I also said that they should be at the same time. They should be working on hearing in the spirit.
Yeah.
So
I never disagreed against that.
Okay, then, all right, praise the Lord, then there's no disagreement. All right, sorry about that.
Because
anyway,
wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
Slow down. And Mark 7:29, Jesus told the lady, go your way, because of this saying, the devil is out your daughter. She just believed.
That's why I stopped.
I was like, wait a minute, what is it talking about? Because I didn't. I wanted to stop it and make sure we got it correct, so people wouldn't get confused out there.
Sure, man. Sure. Thank you. Appreciate it. I touched on James 4:7 before, and this, one of the reasons I touch on this is because in the Baptist church where I was really got serious about my walk with the Lord, everybody would throw this up. Oh, brother, I just resist the devil, and he flees from me. I've heard this nonsense. Oh, I don't bother the devil, and he doesn't bother me. I mean, what a bunch of nonsense. What a bunch of garbage. The devil is really going to just not bother you because you don't bother him. I mean, it's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Yes, sir.
You mind if I say something?
No, go ahead, brother.
When people are on a different level of deliverance, now I'm going to give you an example. When Paul said, right, the devil would attack back. And I have a scratch. I took a photo picture of it. I'm going to send it by email and try to get it posted. It's a claw scratched me on my hand doing an exorcism today with a Satanist.
Oh, wow.
I come home, and the computer that Brother Paul donated for the ministry, the Dell, I downloaded the SAM, put everything on there. I come back. It rejects it and kicks all of it out. Turn the light off, it comes back on. Now, what is that I'm saying? When you in this ministry, Sister Durkin, we noticed the Lord gave her and me some revelation today about demons trying to follow her on her promotions and her job. The Lord showed that to us. See, at a different level in this ministry, I don't care what level you're at, the minute you start trying to expose who Satan is, he coming for you. And they're vicious. They're very vicious.
They don't play fair.
They took me off YouTube.
Yeah.
Illegally.
Right.
I'm off. I lost a third of my audience. A third. Now, here I am.
Yeah.
I got to come up with $1,000. I'm doing a telethon with very few people that know me on Facebook because we didn't do a lot of teaching on Facebook. So don't think he don't strike back, and you're going to get blows. Christians don't have any clue about the devil. The devil is very real. I heard...
Persons without bodies.
I heard this voices, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and all of a sudden the voices just start getting worse and worse and worse and worse. I have a recording. I don't know if it'll sound any good to you guys, you know. But
you played it last week or the week before. It was wild, man.
Well, this is another one that I did yesterday, and I'll give you just a little excerpt of it. I don't know. It may not sound good on your end, but I can hear it on my end.
Okay.
And this person was coming out of a Baptist background, 17 years of age, in Coweta County, Georgia. Her father was a Baptist pastor. I can't give the names of the church because I have to protect their identity. Her mother was a so-called first lady of the church. Neither one of them knew anything about the Holy Spirit, just Baptist doctrine. We have his written word. Tongues have ceased. And I told her and the pastor, I said, sir, tongues is very real. Did you hear me speak in tongues when that demon was growling? Yes, I did. Well, the blood's on you now. You can't no longer go around teaching that doctrine no more. Because if you do, you're going to be judged by God. And I wouldn't be in your position.
Right.
What you just saw.
James 3:1.
What you just saw, your daughter screaming, getting on the wall, crawling upside down, foul things about having sex with you, is not of her personality. She got involved with Satanism. Why did she get involved with Satanism? Father wouldn't spend no time. He loved the church more than the children. You got pastors that do that. Satan is very real. I told this pastor, they want to take pictures. I'm not into taking pictures. I'm not into no autobiography, signing papers. I'm not into that. I'm a soldier. When SEALs and Special Forces, when back in the 80s when I was in Special Forces, after we do an operation, we'd get back on a submarine and go back to Virginia and drink beer all day. And people wouldn't even know what we done did. We just got through killing a whole lot of people and came right back. So I don't like the glory. In this ministry, there's no glory. Christ gets the glory. If you think that you want the glory, you need to come out of this ministry because you won't make it because pride will kill you. And let me tell you something. You give a devil a foothold, he'll take all of it if you're in this ministry. If you're in this ministry, you can't be hating nobody. If you're in this ministry, you can't, because when you speak the name of Jesus, you better make sure that all your sins are forgiven. I never do a deliverance without asking the Lord to forgive me for my sins. Satan is very real. And Brother Paul hit it right on the head. Some Christians don't know nothing about the devil. Well, I do. And I saw this Baptist preacher put his head down. Then I saw one had another authority, got very upset, said, well, come on, let me get it. And he wanted to say something else. I said, I'll say it for you. Do you want me to say it for you? No. He said, I knew what the Lord already told me what he was going to say. But he caught his mouth. Satan is real. Satan is destroying America. Satan is in the Republican Party very deep with Donald J. Trump, all these lies. They find out all about his lies. Mark Meadows in contempt of court. These are doctrines of demons. Joe Biden promised you something you can't get. All of them are used and controlled by Satan. Ain't none of them no good. And we getting caught up in it. Demons are working in the political system. They have control over the atmosphere. And another thing, the Lord's putting this in my heart to tell people, the reason why America is going through what it's going through, Indians are putting curses on it every day. They stole their land. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. I don't know where this is going, but give it back to Paul, but my spirit is moving to say this. How can God form a Christian men that's part of a secret organization who pray to Satan at the 32nd when they become Masons? How can a Mason find Christianity? He can't.
George Washington was a 33rd degree Mason, man, all day long. Good, brother.
All of them. Yeah, Thurgood Marshall, all of them. Okay, who are all of them?
Yeah.
Black, white, Masons are Masons.
Right. Yeah.
And anytime you form a country and you say you were the founding fathers and your roots and heritage, the 32nd Mason is up to Satanism? Satan is very real. Satan has deceived a lot of Christians into believing that Donald Trump's a Christian. Donald Trump is not a Christian. Christians don't call other American son of bitches and shitholes. Christians don't do that. See, the devil's played on a lot of people's mind with that. All this hate, that's Satan. Anytime there's hate, demons flock to. Another thing that demons do, they can walk on water very fast. When we was casting out this demon, when I was in this Coweta County, Georgia, I told that demon to go. And I couldn't find no way to get him. I said, Lord, where to put him at? He said, tell him to go free on the water. And the Lord opened up my eyes. They are very fast on water. And I said, that's a marine spirit.
Yeah.
And that's a marine. I saw it, Brother Paul. The Lord showed it to me. I said, that's a marine spirit.
Yeah.
And I began to see all these spirits in the water. Spirits are in the water,
yeah.
man.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
marine
thing,
spirits.
Marine spirits, yeah.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
And where this person, what I keep seeing is spirits on the lake, four people will drown at that same area where the lady said you keep pointing to. There's a demonic portal hole in that water. I saw it.
Sure. Sure.
The
Absolutely.
Spirit world is very real. The Lord Jesus of Nazareth is telling me to tell everybody that. I say that's not, and I lie not on the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus of Nazareth is telling me to tell all of you right now, Donald Trump is not a Christian. He's not of the Lord Jesus of Nazareth. Joe Biden don't know Jesus. Joe Biden know Catholicism. They're not committed to Christ Jesus. Because if you're committed to Christ Jesus, you can't lie to people. Demons are behind all of this. Satan is very real. And when I saw this woman get upside on this wall, and Sister Durden was nowhere around, called Sister Durden a bitch. I just was on the back end of the phone call outside. I said, Sister Durden, I'll call you, and I get back. Uh-oh, that bitch, where's she at? They know you. They know you. They know who got power, and they know who don't have power. Am I right, Brother Paul?
Man, I preach it. I mean, it's
They know you.
Exactly.
Acts 19, the son of Sceva.
Yeah.
The son of Sceva. This
oh,
is
yeah.
why people don't want to. Satan is real. And I will say this. It hurts my heart. Now, I know in the Caribbean where I'm at, they know the devil's real. I
sure.
love it in Jamaica. It's a haven for deliverance ministry. Awakened
right.
spirits down there. Harastavarian spirits there.
Right.
African spirits.
African countries. African countries are way ahead of us in deliverance, especially
deliverance.
But marine spirits.
Yeah.
They understand
yeah,
it so much
know.
Better than we do.
Yeah, because America. Go ahead, brother.
I'll listen to an African deliverance minister any day of the week, even if I can barely understand them, which some are that way, and that's not their fault. You know, I mean, they're doing the best they can in English. But, oh, yeah, there's something about the power
Africa,
that they have that they understand.
Africa, the Caribbean. Me and Brother White
sure.
in Jamaica, we see people crawling like snakes. That's normal to us.
yeah.
Now, we in the foothills of Jamaica. We're in Maypin. We in the country. And people screaming. We saw an older lady. This lady was no more than 70 years old. No one could hold her down. Pastor White came with that anointing oil and hit it. You can see her skin burning. A witch.
Wow. Yeah.
This stuff is, let me tell you something. You got witches putting potions on the political parties. You got Satanists in both of them. Let me show you something. The Lord told me something about both parties, all of them, including independents. The Lord said, look at that. I said, Lord, why they fight? The devil gives one party some truth, and then he'll give another party some other truth. You'll believe these principles that the Democrats have and the Republican slave whoopers, you'll believe theirs. It's all a lie. And the Lord showed me that. It's a lie. Those are demons behind that. You don't think demons behind political spirits, Brother Paul?
Oh, of course they are. Yeah.
Demons are hot. Demons control the world. So people need to wake up. Yes, Satan is real. And this pastor got jealous. Well, I'm the pastor here. Let me do it. I said, sir, please. Do you know that demon looked at him and said, you've been having a sexual relationship with your niece. Call them out. The man was in the air in less than 5 seconds. All his clothes ripped off and thrown out the window. It's real. I see evil every day. I get phone calls every day. Satan is real. You got the mic, Brother John. I mean, Brother Paul.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. I mean, I don't know where. I was back at James 4:7, you know, this. I agree with Brother Emmett. I mean, in most churches, people are just clueless, and the enemy loves it. Satan loves it.
He
loves
that,
that you don't know.
Ground for him. He have a field day on there.
He loves it. And people, they got all these problems in church. This problem, they got problems just like the world. They got problems just like the world, and they don't realize that they got to come.
It's worse in the church. It's worse in the church. They fornicate. That's why they fornicate in the church. Men's meeting Friday night, singles meeting, ain't a fornication night. That's all that is.
Right. Yeah. It's a sick,
because
it's a hangout place.
It's no, a deliverance ministry is like a police station. It arrests things that's doing wrong to the human body.
Right.
No deliverance. The church got full of demons. Sorry. It's packed with demons. Oratorical spirits, good evening. Welcome to Mount Wilmington Baptist Church. My name is Dr. Little G. McDaniels, and please turn to the Epistle Paul in chapter 4, religious oratorical spirits. That's all it is.
Religious nonsense. Religious nonsense. Aren't I lifted up, you know? You can carry my Bible if you do the right stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous.
I was at a church in Jamaica, Brother Paul. Me and another deliverance minister was there. They invited me to teach. And they were shocked because I wasn't signing autographs. I didn't want no limousine. I took a bus there. I didn't have no armor bearer. I got a 9mm. I got a 9mm in Jamaica. I bought one. The government of Jamaica gave me clearance because they know me very well in Jamaica. I have a 9mm with two clips, one in the chamber, and they hollow points. I got my armor bearer. I went up there. The man was so oratorical, eloquent in his speech. And I kept seeing these people in the audience hurting. I said, these people are hurting. What is this? And the Lord told me, do a mass deliverance. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I did a mass deliverance, and you seen people hollering and screaming and eyes rolling back. The pastor left. He said, I got to get the hell out of here. Them demons in him. I said, you need to sit here because you need to get them out of you. He sat there. He started trembling and started shaking. I said, come on out of him, Slitter. Slitter came out of him. Pride, loss. This is messed up out here. I don't know why I'm saying this, Brother Paul, but I get the phone calls every day. I get the phone calls every day. One thing, Brother Paul, we got an hour and 20 minutes. I want Brother John to verify something, and I'll give it back to you.
Sure, go ahead.
Chaplain Durden?
Yeah.
Will you explain to the audience what type of calls we get?
We get calls from...
How old are you, Chaplain Durden?
Huh?
How old are you?
Turn 81.
Okay, Dr. Phillips says he needs your education. He's educated. Give him your education first.
I have 3 master's degrees, sir. I have a master's degree in human resources. That's personnel administration, where I recruited federal employees for 30 years. So when I retired, the Lord called me to the ministry, and so I went to seminary. At the seminary, I gained 2 master's degrees, one in counseling, Christian counseling, the other one is in theology, and as a result of those 2, I served as a chaplain for 23 years. And that's what I did. I've been retired now like 2 years now.
And Brother John ordained me for past. He ordained me. He's a friend of mine. He talks to me on the phone. Sometimes he gives me assistance and help. Please tell the audience, y'all want to see how the devil is in the church? Tell the audience what we be getting and what positions they are in the church and what they be sending to us.
Okay. We get all kinds, but the majority of the folks we get are so-called ministers. Well, that lets you know that just because a person's a minister doesn't necessarily mean called by God. Some are called by God and some haven't. So I suspect the one that calls us are the ones who were not called by God, because these guys say, I don't like the way you teach. We don't like what you teach in tongue test teach, you iterate and so forth. And then what they do, instead of saying, we say, well, if you don't like it, turn the channel. No, we coming down to the ball jack, you. And that blew my mind when they said that, because I had to inquire about, what is ball jack? They told me, come having a sexual relationship with us in our butts. In other words, homosexual relationship. I couldn't believe that.
That's wicked.
And 90% of the calls we get, I know some ministers don't want me to say that because, you know, well, you know, you can be making us look bad. I'm not talking about every minister, okay? Let's get that straight. I'm talking about the ones who call. The ones who call, talking about, We don't like what you said. We don't like what you teach. We coming down there. We going to ball jack you. And then to make things matters worse, some of them bring their mama down here with them. Their mama told me, I'm going to hold you down while my son be screwing you in your butt. I'm going to hold you down while we be rambling these poles up your butt. I mean, we get it every day, two or three times
a day. And hate speeches.
And these ministers, I'm not talking about the righteous one. I'm talking about the unrighteous one. I'm talking about they're going to come and they're going to screw us. And if they like our ass enough, they're going to kidnap us, take us back to their hometown, and lock us up in some resort somewhere so we
now
can be available
this.
At their pleasure.
Now watch this. These same people call us and call themselves Triple Crown Bishops. That's not in the Bible. It is not in the Bible. So, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of evil going on. It's in the church. It's in the church where if there's no deliverance ministry there, I guarantee you there's a demonic presence. Where there's a negative emotion, anywhere you got any negative emotion, there is a demon there. Anytime you have anger, uncontrollable anger, anger that you can't control, anger that hastens you to your eyes turn red, there is a demon there. If you're constantly thinking about sexual thoughts all day, every day, lust, it's pulling you to the computer. It's making you get on porn and look at a woman. It's making you masturbate, which is an Onan spirit, Genesis 38:9. That's an Onan spirit. Onan sending him to his feet on the ground for his sister's wife. That's perverted. That's very heavy. Christians are struggling with these sexual sins. I see it every day. Brothers and sisters, I have an internet radio. People don't call you, but this is a public number, 678-701-3733. I have no reason to lie. Lies will go to hell. A false testimony God don't want to use. And I hear so many people that's hurt so bad out here, black, white. God created all people. And the devil don't like that. The devil don't care what color you are. He doesn't care. He wants to destroy you. And the least you know about him, the more advantage that he has over you. And you want to turn that. You have authority in his holy name. You have to believe that with faith. Now, if you don't believe it, you can't do it. Because most deliverance is based on faith. And the person has to want to be free. See, Brother Paul wants to be free. When we do deliverance with him, we don't have to struggle, fight, argue. Hey, man, listen to us. He don't do that. He's a mature Christian. And I learned off his deliverance. You got it, Brother Paul. I don't hear nothing else now. Go on.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. We kind of gave you, the listener, sort of a lot of bad, I don't want to say bad information. We gave you a lot of reality. We gave you a lot of reality, but I'll give you some good news.
I'm hearing something.
Go ahead, brother. Go.
So I'm getting word of knowledge. Brother John.
Go.
Yeah.
Acts 1:1. The Lord said, what I was trying to do is in Acts 1:1.
Acts 1:1, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. Acts 1:1.
Jesus did it and he taught it. We have to do deliverance and teach people. All of us have to do that. You have to do and teach. And if people don't know it, they don't see it. This is why I'm going to start opening up the lines. I'm praying on a live deliverance and let people hear the manifestations, because people really need to hear it. They need to see it. And people don't go to churches who see this type of activity. And
They
just don't see it, Brother Paul. People, and it's not popular.
It's making it more
popular.
Real. Yeah.
Yeah. And we being realistic to you, and the Lord is directing this whole thing, because the Lord told me to say that. We want you to know that this stuff is real. This ain't something we making up. This is real. I wish that I could carry some of you on this journey to see this in the air and stuff, but I don't want anything to happen to nobody. I did call Mr. Emmanuel Williams and invited him to come. I told him I can't guarantee your safety. I haven't heard anything from him. He's the most intelligent thing that walks this earth. Intellectualism is being replaced by revelation. God wants you to be revelated. He wants you to have revelation. And now, let me say this here, Brother Paul. I'm going to go off key, but I got to say this. These black churches is killing a lot of black people. Listen to me. Y'all running up in here with these Gruffalo Dollars, Eddie Long, Leroy Kelly, Dr. Scheinman, the other one, a pimp up in New York City. This stuff is sending people to hell. Everybody wants Jesus. It's this prosperity doctrine. Everybody wants something from God. They don't want to sacrifice. They want things. And that's not true Christianity. The word peace is shalom. God died that you may have shalom peace. His kingdom is not based on worldly things. His awards, there's different crowns that the Bible said we have. That's no interest to an ordinary Christian, because there's another gospel in America. I see it. And when I go to Jamaica, I see a different gospel. When I go to Jamaica, I'm home. They're casting out demons. They got workers on the floor. People coughing, getting this stuff up out of them. People walking snakes. All of a sudden, boom, another one manifests. Man, it's work down there. But if in America, America has a lot of hidden demons. Now, let me say this. There's a spirit in America that's going to kill Americans. It's a spirit of racism. It's a spirit. No pastor want to talk about that spirit. Everybody want to evade that demon. It's there. I get on him. I stay on him because I don't like racism. Racism is a demonic principality. And it's in America very deeply. It is in the history books. It is in the TV. It is in the church. It was formed in the church. There was no repentance from any church organization. Thousands of people was Methodists and Baptists was under slavery. It is a spirit that oppresses people of any color. All this is the work of Beelzebub, the devil. Daimonion, the prince of darkness. He ain't playing. We need to wake up, learn this stuff, learn the basics. You can read the word and get delivered. Matthew 8:16. I read.
Cutting out, Brother Emmett. Cutting out. Brother Emmett, cutting out. Hello. Brother John, can you hear me?
I can hear you. He got cut.
Okay, Brother Emmett's cut out. So can you hear him?
Nope.
I can't hear him.
Nope. So I guess you guys go ahead on the teaching until I'll come back.
Brother Emmett, we can't hear you. So if you want to jump back in, go ahead, brother. But I'll relinquish if you want or whatever. I probably should go on here. So Brother Emmett, just drop back in or whatever. Luke 10:19. Behold, you don't have to put up, dear listener, you don't have to put up with any of this. Behold, Jesus speaking. It's already a done deal. I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. There's those scorpions again. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But you have to take your authority and do something with it. You don't just go, oh, okay, thanks, Lord. Took my authority, I'll put it on the shelf, and I'll go back to watching, football or whatever. No. You have to take your authority and do something with it. And here we're back to the scorpions again. Now, I've been guilty of this, casting out all kinds of serpents, and I've cast a lot of them out, but I didn't include scorpions. I'll be including that in the future. Another note of encouragement here, Deuteronomy 28:7. I want to read this in another translation here. Just bear with me for a second. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you to be defeated before your face. They will come out against you one way and flee the other seven ways. There's that number seven again. Where did we hear seven before? That's the number of foul, wicked, evil spirits that will come into you if you go back to the same sin. But let me read it again. Deuteronomy 28:7. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way and then flee from you seven ways. So the Lord here is telling you that he's on your side. You do your part. You meet the conditions. He'll do his part.
It's about work. Help me, Lord. John 14:21. Am I right on this? Help me, Jesus. Yeah. Okay, this is Jesus speaking. You will meet Jesus at the judgment. That's John 5:22. Matter of fact, I'm going to go to John 5:22 right now. For the Father judges, this is Jesus speaking. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. You will meet Jesus. You'll meet him. You'll meet him at the judgment. John 14:21. Jesus speaking, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and manifest myself to him. So you have something to do. You have a commandment is doing something. Jesus has all kinds of commandments, and that's a whole other long teaching on that. But there's something for you to do. He's already told you in Mark 16:17, those who follow me cast out demons, speak in new tongues. So start with that. I could do three teachings on all the commandments, but we're talking about demons here. We're not talking about a lot of the other commandments. But if you do what he tells you to do in Mark 16:17, the rest will become apparent to you. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 10:4. Some people call it 2 Corinthians 10:4. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10:4. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means they're not in our mind, and that they're not like earthly weapons. We're not taking a gun. Sometimes you might need a gun, but not in casting out. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Because you'll have a stronghold in your life. A stronghold is sort of like a grouping of demons. And when you cast out, little by little, the demons come out, and the stronghold will be broken over you. A stronghold is something you cannot get rid of, even after prayer and trying. So strongholds that's another teaching in itself. You have the victory. You have the victory in this life if you do what you're supposed to and you need conditions. 1 John 5. 1 John, where am I going here? 1 John 5, 4. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Okay, so you can overcome the world. You can overcome Satan as a prince and power of this world. God has given God has given Satan limited access to this world for a period of time until Jesus returns, Satan's judged, and then he'll be bound for 1,000 years and finally thrown into the fiery lake. But you have to overcome Satan right now. He is a real foe on this earth, but you can. You have the weapons to do it. We just talked about it, 2 Corinthians 10:4, 1 John 5:4, Deuteronomy 28:7. I already talked about Ephesians 6:11, 6:12. I like Isaiah 54, but I'm going to drop down to 54:17. I find this really interesting here. I might go off script just a little bit. We'll see how this goes. I didn't plan on this. No weapon formed in Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So if you meet the conditions, none of this is going to prosper against you. Yes, you'll have tribulation. You'll have problems as you do it. I have lots of problems when I cast out. Emmett, I have the honor and privilege to live with Emmett for a couple sessions, two, three days there. And I saw all the man went through when he gets serious. But his reward's in heaven, Luke 10:20. When you do this, you get a reward. And this is Jesus speaking here, Luke 10:20. Go back to 10:19. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. There's those scorpions again. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus speaking in Luke 10:20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather because your names are written in heaven. Do you want your name written in heaven? I do. Luke 10:20 tells you that if you do what Jesus told you in Mark 16:17 about casting out demons, you and trampling on serpents and scorpions, your name will be written in heaven. So there's a reward for doing this. It's not just the misery that you go through in this life. I want to go back to, where am I at here? Help me, Jesus. Isaiah 53:3. I'm just impressed to talk about this. This is Isaiah, who I think lived 400 years. I don't know how many years. Was it, Brother John, did Isaiah live 400 or 800 years before Jesus? Do you remember offhand, Brother John? Chaplain Dern? Okay, that's all right. It's okay. Isaiah 53:3. Isaiah lived at least 400 years before God, okay? I mean, before Jesus. And he's writing this about Jesus. And this really struck me, is that he's talking about Jesus here. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we have esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. Those three verses right there is the prophet Isaiah talking about the coming Messiah. And nothing in there is happy, slappy Jesus. Nothing in there is Jesus, which gives you, you know, the Mercedes and the million-dollar home and all that kind of stuff. Now, he might bless you with a Mercedes and a million-dollar home. That happens sometimes. But Jesus never told a joke, and he never used any, what's that word? Never used, he never told a joke. What am I trying to, what's the word I'm trying to say here? Never used any sarcasm. He was all about his Father's business. And I want to be like Jesus, because Isaiah, Philippians 5:7, is that right? Because he came as a man. Jesus, no, it's 2:7, huh? Paul in Philippians speaking about Jesus, but he made himself of no, Philippians 2:7. But he made himself, speaking of Jesus, of no reputation. Remember what Brother Emmett was talking about earlier, not signing autographs? Jesus didn't sign autographs, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and becoming in the likeness of men. A bondservant in those days served other people. It was a servant. It was sort of like a higher level servant, but he served other people. Do you serve other people? Verse 9, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. So, what's my point here? Jesus did everything as a man. In the garden, he said, I could call down a legion of angels. He never called down angels. He did everything as a man. So what does that mean? You can do it like Jesus did. Yes, it's going to take obedience, sacrifice, persistence, knowledge, truth, operating the Spirit. But you can do it. If I can do it, however well I do it, you can do it. God's no respecter of persons. God's no respecter of persons. This is a very quoted verse, but I want to quote it now. I have mixed feelings about quoting this. It's quoted in movies and different things, but you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That means there is truth. John 8:32. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if there's truth out there, that means there's lies or non-truth, right? So you've got to know the truth, and then the truth will set you free. You just don't find whatever truth suits your fancy. You just don't go and, oh, I'll take this truth out of the Bible, but I don't like that truth. Give me a lot of prosperity truth, but I don't like the fasting, the casting out.
I don't like the study truth. I just like the prosperity truth. No, it's the whole truth. So a lot of people quote Hosea 4:6, and it's a very famous verse. And the verse starts off with, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And I bet if you asked 100 Christians that go to church and knew that verse, I bet you they couldn't tell you what the next sentence in that verse says. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge." Not because knowledge wasn't available. Knowledge is freely available. But they're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So you could be a Christian. You could love the Lord and be destroyed for lack of knowledge. In other words, the devil could destroy your family, your business, your health, because you have rejected knowledge. And it's really sad, man. I remember when I got that truth, it's like, wow, yeah, I have to seek knowledge. It's just not automatically given. 1 John 5:4. 1 John 5:4. For whatever, some people call whosoever. There's different translations, but for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that he has overcome the world, our faith. You can overcome the world. Verse 5. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Then you can overcome the world. You can do it. It's not easy. It's not easy. It took me months to get just this one revelation about scorpions. But it's worth it. And I wanted to stop. I wanted to stop. But it didn't. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. Little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. This is quoted pretty often. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Are you a born-again Christian? Are you really a born-again Christian? Not just go and sit in a church. Are you a born-again Christian? Because if you are, you have someone inside of you who will help you overcome the world, and his name is Jesus Christ. But you have to keep his commandments. What did we talk about in John 14:21? I'm going to read it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's see here. Okay. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. So if you do the commandments of Jesus and keep his commandments, not only Jesus loves you, but his Father loves you. Very important verse. Romans 8:37. Well, I want to read John 10:10 first. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The enemy is trying to kill you and me. And if he can, he wants to make you miserable. And he does a pretty good job of that for most Christians. But you can overcome the enemy. We talked about all those verses in the Old Testament and New Testament. So the sort of bad news is that the enemy, John 10:10, comes to steal and kill you. Jesus came that you might have life and have it abundantly. But let's drop back to Romans 8:37. Now in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We can conquer. Do we meet his conditions? Did we do what he says? Now, I just quoted James 4:7 about resist the devil and he will flee from you, how people use that in total ignorance, and they ought to be ashamed of themselves. But I'm going to read James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Sin is serious business. You've got to get it out of your life. Doesn't mean become perfect. It means if you slip up, immediately repent and don't go back into it. I had a many-decade problem with pornography. Praise the Lord, about 3 years ago, I got completely free of it. You can get free of whatever it is in your life. I mean, I had a problem with pornography for probably 30 years. And, you know, through a lot of casting out, prayer, and God intervening in my life,
I was able to get free of it. So you can get free of it. There's probably ministers that are listening right now that have a problem with pornography. You can get free of that. You can get free of that. You got to draw near to God. He draws near to you. This is James 4:8. Cleanse your hands. That means get rid of all that nasty stuff. You sinners, purify your hearts. Don't be double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I believe that's in James 3, but trust me, it's in James. Don't be double-minded. Have your mind on Christ, not on the things of the world. 2 Corinthians 10:3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Yes, you walk in the flesh. You have a fleshly body. But you don't war in the flesh. You war through God's word and the power of God. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down imagination, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So, that's, once again, we're back on the stronghold. The stronghold is just I look at it as an extremely hard demon to get cast out. I may be a little bit more prepared to discuss what strongholds are next time. Let me write this down. Strongholds. Okay. Demons know about God. Demons are very well acquainted with God. James 2, verse 19. James 2, you believe there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. This is why you don't do anything in your own authority or your own power. This is why anytime you cast out in the name of Jesus after you've prayed up, after you've repented of all your sins, and after you're ready to battle demons. It's a battle. What does it talk about in Ephesians 6:12? Some translations say our battle is not against flesh and blood. I want to clarify one story in the Bible that this is for beginners, that when Jesus rolls up on the guardian demoniac is speaking, the Gadarene man, he breaks his chains, he cuts himself, you know, the guy's crazy, right? So Jesus rolls up on him, and the demon speaks out of the man. The demon scans Jesus, and the demon has lived in lots of people, but he's never seen a man like Jesus. And he scans Jesus, and he goes, what hast thou to do with me, Son of the Most High? What Jesus did is he got all that garbage out of him. Okay, anything of the world that was around him that day, he got rid of it. Now, he was born of a perfect mother, so in some ways he had a little bit easier time, I guess, than us, but we can get it out of us too. So the guardian demoniac scanned him and said, what hast thou to do with me, Son of the Most High? And Jesus, of course, made quick work of him. He asked him his name. His legion. Legion is anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000. Asked to be cast in pigs. Got cast in the pigs. The pigs ran down the cliff. Pigs killed themselves in the water. Okay. So immediately the demons wanted to be in another physical body. They didn't want to be cast. Jesus could have cast them to hell. Jesus has that authority, but we don't. Anyway, he cast them in the pigs, and the pigs ran down the cliff and killed themselves. And a lot of people get the idea from that story that if they just get the right deliverance minister and one shot, they can get everything cast out, everything's fine. That's really not the way it works. It's like peeling an onion. It's layer after layer after layer after layer. And my opinion on this, now I don't have a Bible verse for this, so Lord, forgive me if this is a sin, but my opinion on this is, of course, it was Jesus casting out, and you know, Jesus just squashed him like a bug, no big deal for Jesus. But I think one of the reasons that the man was so so easy, I guess you could say, for the demon to be cast out is because people in those days weren't as wicked as we are today. Just the stuff you could watch on television in one night would be more wickedness than the average person in those days would have in their whole lifetime. And then you add that to generation upon generation upon generation. And we basically are more wicked and have more demons than the people in biblical times. And this is one part of the puzzle, I think, that some people don't understand. They say, well, you know, Jesus, you know, one time, cast out. And that happens sometimes, I agree. But it's a thing that I've sort of just, I don't know, I guess the Holy Spirit taught me. I don't have a good Bible verse, but it makes sense. 1 Peter 5:8-9. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, be vigilant. Okay, sober means be sober mind. Don't drink. Don't do drugs. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. So the enemy is roaming around. He's looking to get into you. Can't get into you, he's going to get in somebody else. 1 Peter 5:9. Resist the devil. Resist him, meaning the devil. Be steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering you are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You're not special. Sorry to tell you. You're not special. Other people in believers in China, North Korea, you know, Delaware, Germany, wherever, they experience the same things you are. So they're not, you're not immune to the situation. You're not special. Am I still online here? Yeah. Brother, I think that's it, right? Aren't we offline yet? It's got an hour and 30 minutes. Hello?
All right, you got about 41 more minutes. He says that's it. So everybody, any questions, open up to Brother Mike, to Brother John. All right, you got the mic, Brother John. I see your hand raised.
Yeah, I'm a happy camper. I enjoyed the session this evening, Brother, and show that you put some hours and prayer behind that. I really learned a few things, and be looking forward to hear from you again.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
All right. God bless. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you, Brother Paul.
Sure, man. Love y'all. See you.
Love you.
Bye-bye. Bye.